Dustin Mee, and when I'm in Ireland, I listen to Into Your Head. Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head. Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Into Your Head.
Now, join me at a tremendously interesting moment. I'm sitting here at my computer and downloading podcasts from the internet. Now, I know that's a bit of a vague statement, downloading them from the internet. That could be from anywhere. That could be from some porn site in India. Or some podcasting thing in wherever the hell podcasts come from. I don't know. This particular one comes from here, but you're not to know where here is. The more studious among you will know that I'm in Ireland, but that doesn't narrow it down very much. That narrows it down to 64,000 square miles or 32,000 square miles. I forget which. It's one or the other. I did geography in school, and we learned that the area of Ireland was either 32,000 square miles or 64,000 square miles in size. It was one or the other. It's either one or both. And they're pretty much interchangeable, those two numbers, anyway. You just divide one by two and you get the other, and then multiply the other by two and you get the former. So that's, I wouldn't worry about that. It's nitpicking. I can't imagine why the chances are you're a foreigner. There's only one Irish person listens to this podcast apart from me, as far as I know, and he's not even in Ireland. Unless you count all the other Irish people who listen, who I've never communicated with, anyone I haven't heard from, they're probably listening too. Actually, come to think of it, I have had communications from three or four Irish people who claim that they're listening, but I don't know. They haven't proved it. They haven't offered me any solid evidence to prove that they're listening to this podcast. Now, not evidence that would stand up in the court, anyway. I mean, I've certainly had emails from people and messages saying, I'm in your county and I found your website and I'm listening to your podcast. But who's to say that they're not complete lying bastards? I mean, I don't trust anyone in this town of Athy, for example. Everyone just lies and cheats their way to the top. There's several people doing illegal counterfeit copies of Into Your Head in a Thai town alone, as far as I know, and they all look like me, they all sound like me, but none of them are as entertaining or informative as me, and they're basically cheap imitations. And in an industry where you don't charge for your product, there's no point doing a cheap imitation, because it's not like you're going to undercut your competition. I mean, this podcast is free. There's no point going around trying to find a cheap copy of it from a bootlegger and say, it's not the real Into Your Head. It's a bootleg copy, but I don't mind the lower quality because I pay less for it. You don't pay anything for this as it is. Or if you do, the payment hasn't come true. So if you've paid for this, you should get in touch with me straight away, because I haven't received a payment. And I'd like to receive it. I'd like to receive payments for making Into Your Head. That's not to say that I'm demanding that you pay me. I'm just saying, in an ideal world, you would pay me 1 million euros per episode per listener. Each listener would pay me 1 million euros per listener, in fact, because it's to the listener's benefit if there are extra listeners. So if you're listening to this podcast and there are, say, 10 other listeners, then it might be quite a good podcast. But if you're listening to this podcast and there are 100 other listeners, then the chances are it's even better. So you should pay extra for the privilege of listening to a high listenership show. That's the basic economics of podcasting as I see it. Other people have different opinions on this. There are people who think you should do an ordinary show and then do a premium show and charge for the premium show. I don't agree with that. I'm totally incapable of doing an ordinary show. All of my podcasts are premium, and as far as I'm concerned, that's how that works. Now, Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking that's how that works. It isn't a proper statement at all. It's hardly something that a scientist would submit in an article to New Scientist magazine and put it forward as his latest theory and ask the scientific community to comment on it and formulate opinions. Well, that's fine. I wasn't saying it was. I'm not a frigging scientist. If I was, I'd certainly, by all means, come up with proper evidence to support my theory, and I'd say something a bit less vague. I'd probably say something like, I wouldn't. Instead of saying that's how that works, I'd say that the following is how that works. And before I say what the following is, I better define what that is. So I'll say when I say the word that. What I mean is such a thing. Now, I wouldn't actually say such a thing. I'm just saying that's what I'd say. Where I say such a thing, I would actually say something else that would explain in detail what the thing was that I was saying. And then it would be a lot more clear to you, and more importantly, clear to the scientific community. Actually, it probably wouldn't be clear to you at all, because I'd be couching all this in scientific terms for my colleagues in the world of science, so that they could look at it. I wouldn't kowtow to ordinary general members of the public and use everyday language, because it's not a scientific article isn't supposed to be aimed at the common man. It's supposed to be aimed at scientists, and it's for the benefit of the common man. But say you put it in scientific terms for people in the scientific community to read and analyse and say what they think. And what would happen then is that the scientific community would get back to me. They'd write letters to New Scientist magazine and all these other periodicals, and they'd say, I read that article that Neil O'Carroll wrote about this and how that works. And in my opinion, he's absolutely right, and I've got this other evidence that you could add to that to back her up. And if someone wanted to build on top of our work, they could do something else. They could get into their little lab there, and maybe it would probably be an ideal job for an undergraduate who wanted something for a thesis. He could take paragraph 3 of Neil's work and add my little theory here that I've just written to you about. It's not a great theory. It's only good enough for a letter in the letters page of New Scientist magazine, not a proper article, but I don't mind. I'm complimenting Neil's work with this, and anyway, an undergraduate could take all this and add it all together and build on this work. He'd probably get out his pipette and his burette in the laboratory, and probably get some dry ice, just to make it more exciting. So science experiments in laboratories are a lot more exciting when you get dry ice. And preferably also some sort of acid. But be damn fucking careful with the acid. You can't put acid in a container, remember, because it burns the container. The container just disintegrates. So you have to basically freeze the acid and carry it around like a lump of ice. And when you melt it as you need it, burn some off into vapour, and let the vapour float up into whatever other chemical you want to add it to, and then see what happens. You'll probably burn down the chemistry lab, but there are important scientific things that need to be done in the area of fire prevention, and for some of these you have to start a fire, so these things have to be done. Obviously someone has to fund it, so if you're in an underfunded university, don't pick a subject of research that involves or necessitates burning down your school, because that'll be counterproductive. You may well produce enough evidence from the experiment to prove whatever point you're going to put forward in your thesis, but the college won't be there anymore, so they won't be able to look at your thesis and grade you on it, and no one will ever hear about it. So you're wasting your time if you go into that sort of thing. So mark my words. Mark my words. What the fuck is he talking about now? That's some quaint northwestern European phrase. It probably means take note of what I've just said. Well, that's exactly what it means. It means take note of what I've just said. You don't have to literally take note of it. I don't expect you to take out a biro and start noting down what I've just said. That would be fucking ridiculous, seeing as you have a file containing an MP3 recording of me saying it already. That's effectively a note. It's an audio note. It's like an audio book, except it's not a book. It's not based on some text publication that I made earlier. It's made from scratch. It's basically an audio book made from scratch. I've made an audio book, and I might turn it into a textbook later. I probably won't. I'll probably just make some show notes and fill up a couple of paragraphs on the website, and it'll look good, and it'll advertise the show. Well, it won't by any means be a book. It'll only be two paragraphs worth. And even if I was to make a text of everything that was on this episode of Into Your Head, it would probably only take up about 3 chapters. This is not a long show. You're not getting a whole novel here when you're downloading episode of Into Your Head. But I think that's to be appreciated. If you wanted a whole novel's worth, you'd have to get 10 shows. And when you listen through them all, you would find some lack of continuity, I can tell you. Because I'm not going around arranging every episode of Into Your Head in sequence and having a storyline going right through every 10 episodes. Well, then I'd have to start say at episode 1 by saying I was sitting on the mat yesterday pretending to be a cat, and then I'd go off on my usual waffle, but I'd have to keep coming back to the main storyline at the end of the episode 1. I'd have to say, and that's basically what I talk about while I was sitting on the mat yesterday, and to find out what happened after I finished sitting on the mat, tune into to episode 2. And that wouldn't even make any sense, because you don't tune into a podcast, you just download the freaking thing, you subscribe to it, which I suppose is the modern day equivalent of tuning in. But it's not like you take out your wireless and you go, I think he's on 98.2 FM, and that's the wrong one, that's the classic hit station, that's the one that plays Bruce Springsteen singing Born in the USA, and ironically we're not even in the USA, we're in Ireland, and they're piping out all this stuff. That's because us Irish people, we're not afraid to play foreign music, we're not so wrapped up in our own nationality that we refuse to listen to foreigners like Bruce Springsteen, even if he's talking about his own nationality and not ours. It might seem irrelevant, but we're happy enough to put up with that. I mean, we go to all sorts of plays and theatrical stuff where we watch actors playing other people, and we're quite happy to imagine ourselves in the role of people who live in other countries. We can imagine ourselves being Bruce Springsteen, or at least the character portrayed in his song Born in the USA, and we can imagine ourselves having been born in the USA, and imagine the feelings and anger that come forth in that song. And it's not like we're ignoring our own nationality. It's just like being in the theatre. If I go to a theatre about a guy who goes off to fight the war, it doesn't mean I'm going off to fight the war. It doesn't mean I've decided to no longer be a non-war fighting person. It just means I've gone to see a frigging play about going off to the war, and I'm watching it, enjoying it, or getting some information or stimulation from it, or some sort of life lesson, and then I'm going home, back to my mat, back to sit on the cat. So anyway, basically, this isn't an audio book. That's what I'm trying to say.
Hello, I'm Seanie Greger, anchor of Athy Weekly World News. Since nothing of any note has happened in the town since my last bulletin, I am today presenting the first edition of Seanie Spouts Off, an occasional series of editorials covering vital issues that affect the way we and our children live today. I'm Seanie Greger, and it seems incomprehensible to me, or to any ordinary decent person, that a parent would insist on forcing his or her children to eat their greens, so that they'll grow up big. For one thing, many of us never eat our vegetables and instead consume large quantities of beer and carbohydrates, yet still manage to grow to a very substantial size. But besides that, one of the obvious conclusions to be drawn from the tale of Jack and the Beanstalk was that we are going about this nutrition thing the wrong way. Vegetables, the evidence clearly shows, are the cause of some of the worst menaces the world has ever seen. Plant a couple of supposedly innocent beans in the ground, and next thing you know, you have a child-eating maniac living at the top of a bean plant in your back garden. And that, we can be sure, is a recipe for disaster. Especially if your cat is sitting there when it starts to sprout. A sprouting cat really is intolerable. How many of us have been through the embarrassment of trying to explain it to the vet at his Monday afternoon practice? I'm Seanie Groega. And besides, most of us don't even like sprouts. We just eat them because it's Christmas and society expects us to eat sprouts. You don't know what it's been doing or where it's been, and there's no point in taking any chances, now is there? Unless, of course, you've just landed on the go-to-jail box. If that happens, you may as well take a chance card. There's every possibility that you might get one that says, get out of jail free. One of the producers here at Athai Weekly World News much prefers drafts. He has always loved them, with their long necks and speckly coats. They really are the highlight of her trips to the zoo. Now that she's been banned from the wildcat section, after I disguised my domestic cat in a lion's costume to see if she would be accepted into the community. But it was all in the interests of science, and that cat is now the proud mother of 3 baby lion cubs who will replenish the zoo stock in years to come, when they run out of antelope meat. I'm Seanie Groega, and you know, that damned butcher is always running out of things. Yesterday he was seen running out of the local bank after allegedly performing an armed robbery. Luckily we mark all of our banknotes before we lodge our takings into the bank every day, and we are able to check through binoculars that none of our money with which he was running away was the property of my employer. Many of us are familiar with the old tale of the 2 butchers who walk out of a bank. At the very moment that they emerge into the street, 2 black cats cross their paths on their way to a bar. Unfortunately, they are still some minutes away from the bar, so they won't get there on time for a traditional 2 cats walk into a bar. The explanation given for this is that black cats do not bring you good luck if they cross your path in pairs. The one exception to that, experts say, is if you are walking along 2 parallel paths simultaneously with 1 foot on each path. But you have to make sure that each cat only crosses 1 of the paths. And that's quite a difficult thing to achieve. Even for me, Seanie Groega. Let's be honest, the only way this is going to happen to the ordinary man or woman on the street is if the starting point of both cats is somewhere between the 2 paths, and they both walk in opposite directions. And when, if ever, is that going to happen? Exactly. I'm Seanie Groega, and I say that people are too unrealistic about these things, especially holograms. Holograms are far too out of touch with reality. Just yesterday, a hologram asked one of our researchers whether he could eat cat food for breakfast. Clearly, the fault lies with rushed software releases for the Christmas market, and just plain bad programming at Microsoft. And that is why the Into Your Head website has been designed to be best viewed in Mozilla Firefox, rather than Internet Explorer. I'm Seanie Groega. Join me next week, then I'll be back with a regular edition of Athai Weekly World News, subject to sufficient newsworthy incidents having occurred. But for now, a very good afternoon to you.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking you're going on and on about frigging Bruce Springsteen. You're not a Bruce Springsteen fan. You make cat songs for a hobby. Well, I don't. I make cat songs for a living. It's just I haven't managed to sell them anywhere yet. But it's an investment. I've made all these cat songs that you've heard on previous episodes. I plan someday to sell them to a publishing company and become famous. Well, not necessarily become famous. I'd rather become rich than famous. But if I become famous for being rich, well, that's fine. As long as I have the money, it's fine. But I know. You see what's coming here. I'm going to do a frigging cat song, so let's not waste time building up to it. Let's just get on with the frigging thing. Here's a cat song. Oh, Bruce Springsteen's cat Bruce Springsteen's cat. Poor little bastard, everybody assumes he was born in the USA just because his owner was. Oh, Bruce Springsteen's cat. Bruce Springsteen's cat. Poor little bastard, everyone assumes that his owner was born in the USA too just because he recorded a song saying born in the USA. Oh, poor Bruce Springsteen's cat. Poor Bruce Springsteen's cat. I mean, poor in the spiritual sense and not in the monetary sense, although that's not to say that he's poor in the spiritual sense. I mean in some other sense that I don't have a word for. Oh, poor Bruce Springsteen's cat. Poor Bruce Springsteen's cat. Doesn't even exist because Bruce Springsteen doesn't have a cat. I've led you along, I've led you along. You believe everything I say, I just say Bruce Springsteen's cat. And you say, oh, Bruce Springsteen must have a cat, he wouldn't lie to me. Well, I'm not lying to you. Bruce Springsteen lied to me. He told me that he had a cat, and then I made up this song, and then I found out that he hadn't. And I'm not prepared to discard the song just because it's turned out to be based on lies. It's not my fault. I did nothing wrong. Bruce Springsteen deceived me with his story about having a cat. It wasn't even a story. It was just a statement. He said, I have a cat. And I believed him. It wasn't even in the song, so it wasn't like I was going to go, well, just because he says it's in the song doesn't mean it's true. It's just could be just a character in his song, and he's singing in the first person. He could be singing, I have a cat, but doesn't necessarily have a cat. No, he actually said it to me, I have a cat. And he wasn't telling a story or anything at the time, as far as I knew. It was just in a natural day-to-day conversation. He said, oh, I have a cat. And I believed him. So, there you go. I think it's time for the urination session of the week. I can feel some urine building up in my bladder, and I would not be averse to having a urination session right now, especially with the consequences for my bladder and the feeling of heaviness therein. But I'm looking around me here. I'm in the Into Your Head studio today. I'm not on my portable recording device, and I don't know how I'm going to manage this. Last time this happened, you'll remember a few weeks ago, I peed into a glass for you. But yeah, I ended up having to go to the toilet anyway to discard the contents of the glass, and you'll remember In the two episodes that followed, there was a long saga involving that glass. First I had to spend 24 hours soaking it in water and washing up liquid. Then my wife vowed never to drink out of that glass again. She wanted me to mark it because I had pissed in it. And then the next thing that happened was that the glass got broken. And not only did I injure myself on the glass, later emerged that my wife had injured herself on the broken glass at some point. So we're not going to do that again. That's the last time I'm going to urinate into a glass receptacle in this studio. So we're going to have to find something else. Now, there is an old guitar there, the one that I use for my cat songs. And not being a professional musician myself, I don't play the guitar properly, so I don't really care too much about the guitar. But I'm not going to urinate into the hole under the strings, because the urine would soak through. I hope to rent out this house or sell it at some point, and I don't want projective customers, well, prospective customers, to use the correct words. I don't want prospective customers to come into this room and go up to the guitar and say, oh, that's a lovely guitar, I think I'll pick it up, and then they'll either get wet or they'll smell something or both. And I don't think that would be of any help whatsoever turn them from prospective customers into actual customers, because people don't like urine. People have problems with urine. They're obsessed with not having it on things. They'd rather have it flushed down into receptacles and forgotten about. They have a little receptacle full of water and they urinate directly into that. That's what they do, and then they flush it. They pour 8 gallons of water down after the urine to make damn sure that the urine leaves their house immediately and that there's no further presence of the urine in the house. It goes deep into a tunnel under the ground that goes down to the sewerage works, which are three miles under my house. There's a joint sewerage works and there's 8,000 people working in it. It's an underground town. It's called Underground City, but technically it's a town because it doesn't have a Lord Mayor. But that's just nitpicking, I suppose. And there's loads of people living down there, and they all they have their own toilets, of course. And the sewerage from their own toilets in the Underground Sewerage City has to go to Australia. In fact, well, it doesn't go all directly to Australia. It comes out of the underground sewer works in Australia. And God knows where the people there flush their effluents to. I don't know. Maybe they flush it upwards, up to the surface of Australia. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. They used to send criminals to that country. It wouldn't be surprise me if half of the world are sending their sewerage effluents there. And I don't think that's fair. Australia is a perfectly decent country. Just because criminals used to be sent there, that's no reason to assume the worst and to assume that it's a suitable country to which to send sewerage as if it's some kind of a trash bin. I don't think that's right. I think the world owes us Australia an apology. We should not be sending all our shit and our piss to Australia. We should send it somewhere else. We should send it to, I don't know. I know what we should do. We should send all the piss up in the plane. Now, bear with me now. This is a long theory, so don't try and shout me down at the first moment when you see a flaw in it. Now, you have heard stories on the internet of things where there's people in aeroplanes go to the toilet and they flush the toilet, and the theory goes, maybe it's an urban myth, but that people flush the toilet and the water comes out, the piss comes out into the sky, and it's a frozen block of piss that drops down to the ground. Sometimes it lands on someone's head, and that's when you hear about how someone gets killed by frozen piss from an aeroplane. Well, what I'm thinking is that a way to get rid of our piss would be to put it in an aeroplane, a cargo aeroplane, launch the aeroplane up into the sky. It doesn't have to go all the way. It just has to drop the urine down over the North Pole, and then the plane can go around and turn home. So that'll save on costs. It doesn't even have to pay for the cost of landing at its destination, because it just takes off, drops the urine, turns around and goes home. And there you've solved the problem with the depleting ice caps. You just drop more ice there, we freeze our urine. We don't even have to try to freeze it, it'll freeze on the way down. And that'll solve the problem that we're causing by our greenhouse emissions. That stuff that we spray in the toilet is causing that problem. But the stuff that we urinate into the toilet can cure that problem. So it's a perfect solution as far as I'm concerned. And I'd welcome your views in the Stalkers Forum guestbook at intoyourhead.com/stalk, or leave a voicemail there at the same address, or email me studio@intoyourhead.com. I'd be absolutely fascinated to hear your views on this urine disposal system that I've come up with. Now, while we're on the subject, I think it's time to have a look at some listener email. So let's have a look at some listener email. Now, I've one here from this guy who you know as Lockjaw, the guy who does the...
Hello, Lockjaw the Podcast Junkie here, and you are listening to one of the funniest shows I've ever heard, Into Your Head, hosted by Neil O'Carroll and Joanne Farrell, all the way from Ireland.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the thing where he says, I'm Lockjaw the Podcast Junkie, and this is Into Your Head, and everything's great. And I'm an American, so I talking a big voice, and have a big booming voice, and I think everything's great. So I say, Into Your Head is great, and here's the thing, Neil, that you can put on your show, and it'll say, Into Your Head is great. And it'll sound really convincing, because I've got a big booming American voice, and I probably used to work in radio or something, so it's absolutely fantastic. Anyway, this guy sends me an email. He says, for when you don't have enough material for one of your show segments, http://www.thinkgeek.com/stuff/41/superpillpill.html?cpg=70h. Now, That's a fascinating sentence. And thank you very much for sending me that. Now, I've just realised it may be a link to a website. Unfortunately, my internet is down at the moment. That's the only reason why I'm making this show. I can't go on and surf porn at the moment, so I have to go and record some crap to fill time, because there's nothing on TV. So I'm just recording this to fill time while the internet is down. So, Lynn, I'll go and click on that link again another time when the internet is working. I clicked on it before, but I wasn't recording, so that was no use. You couldn't even... Actually, I could fake a click. Hold on a minute. Got my mouse here. That's what I'll do. I'll fake a click. I'll pretend I'm clicking on your link, because you went to a lot of trouble to send me that. Here we go. I don't know if you can hear this. I'm clicking. Now, I know what you're thinking. You think that just requires a single click, but I'm afraid that you wouldn't hear the single click. Maybe try it now. Here's a single click. Maybe you can, but it goes past so fast that you wouldn't notice. So I exaggerate it. So they can hear over again. It's like if you're in a horror movie and someone screams, and they keep showing the scream from different angles. They show a view from outside the window and you hear the scream, and then they show a view from overhead and you hear the scream, and it's the same scream over and over again. It was for dramatic effect, and it's so that you don't miss anything. So anyway, I looked into this. I just remembered I clicked on this link at an earlier stage, and it was an absolutely tremendous article to do urination, but I'm going to save it for another time. Firstly, when I'm not bursting for a urination session as I am now, because as I said earlier, I can't leave the computer, so I can't urinate here, so I don't want to think about urine. So I won't look at that article at the moment, if you don't mind, Lynn. I'll come back to it another time. And but thank you very much. And then let's see, have we other listener email here? Well, we have listener messages, but hey, they're in the frigging forum, the stalkers forum at intoyourhead.com/stalk, and that by definition is on the internet, so I can't get into that when I don't have internet. So let's see, I could probably find some old listener email. Hold on a minute. Let's see, how do I... here we go. Well, that's certainly an email about a podcast, but it's an email from me to another podcaster about their podcast, so I'm not going to read that. We'll come back to that another time when my internet is working. Suffice to say, I do get messages from listeners sometimes, and I would be prepared to read them out if you want to send any more. Just email me, or preferably leave a voicemail at intoyourhead.com/stalk, or post in the Stalkers Forum guest book. And I'll analyse what you have to say. I'll give it due thought. Obviously, I'll take into account your qualifications and experience in whatever matter you're addressing, and we'll measure up the pros and cons of everything, and we'll take everything into account. So you need have no worries whatsoever about there being a lack of a feedback system on this program. There is a feedback system. There's a listener input system. It's all there on the website. You just have to go there, and I'd be very much, absolutely, as I say, absolutely fascinated to hear what you have to say. And actually, you know what? I've been saying this for so long, trying to mention in every show about the Stalkers Forum and the online voicemail and all that. I think it's time to strengthen up this advertising, to it a bit stronger, and make a friggin' cat song about it. So here goes. Now, I wish I hadn't said cat song, because I could easily come up with a song encouraging you to post in the forum and the voicemail, but I don't know how to incorporate cats into that, but we'll see. I'll figure out something. So here goes, a cat song encouraging you to post in the Stalkers Forum guestbook and other services. Oh, cat, 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 there's a picture of a cat on the Stalkers Forum page at intoyourhead.com/stalk. Oh, cat, 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 it's not a real cat, it's a soft toy cat, but there's a picture of it, and there's a drawing of a cat, part of the Intoyourhead logo, that's on the same page too, so that's two cats. And there's the thing from my Bebo background thing that kind of looks like a cat, but it's not really, but it could be, it's kind of suggested that it could be. So there's 2.5 cats on that page. That's intoyourhead.com/stalk. But more importantly, this is a song I must remember. I should be singing it, not saying it. But more importantly, there's a Stalkers Forum guestbook and an online voicemail system where you can record a message on your computer and put it right there and send it. At intoyourhead.com/stalk. But there's cats as well, so this is a successful cat song. And that's it. That's the end of this song. That's the end of this song. Six coughs would have sounded better than seven, but I had no control over that. I had no control over that. Maybe I could edit out one of them, or edit in an extra 5, and then there'd be 12, and that would balance. But I don't want to sound like a weirdo. I don't want to sound like I have obsessive compulsive disorder, which I think I have a slight touch of it, but I don't want to sound like that. So I'll just leave it as it is, and just explain it as I did just now. So I did explain it, not I will explain it. I'm getting my vocabulary and my tenses wrong. But that's okay, because it's a song. It's poetic license, and it's songetic license, so I can say whatever I want in this song, as long as I sing it. Oh, forgot, I'm supposed to be singing. Oh, sing, 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 singing this song. This is a song about singing this song. It's not really, but it's turned into, so it's a verse at the end of this song about singing this song. Oh, this is the end of this song. A highly successful cat and guestbook promotion song. This is the end of this song. I don't think very much went wrong. Now, I'm just going to interject there. I'm not really interjecting, because that was the end of the show. I'm adding this piece on at the end. You regular listeners will have noticed that in a few recent shows, I've ended the program very suddenly, like I did just now at the end of the song. Well, I was going to until I put this segment in, or I've ended by getting to the end of a segment and not putting in any bumper music at the end. I've just completely cut off, and your MP3 player stops. And that's it. Well, I realise that can be quite disturbing sometimes. So I want to end today's show gently. Not like this. No, I don't want to end it like that. So you see how disturbing that is. So what I'm going to do is play us out with some Mad Player music from our in-house music production system. It's called the Mad Player. So I'm going to play out with some music. And I'll say thank you for listening, and for those of you who are sensitive to endings of things and don't like them to leap upon you suddenly, the end of the show is coming up now, so you've been forewarned. It's coming in 5 seconds. I'm going to stop speaking, and then there's going to be some music, and then it'll fade out nice and gently. So here goes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you.